The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, folks, welcome to the program. This is the program. I apologize. This is the best we could do. But listen, we're going to make it up to you with our guest. You remember Hercules? You remember Kevin Sorbo? He's like in every Christian film now, even the ones that he's not in. If he doesn't do a cameo, like a background walk-on like Hitchcock, technically it can't be called a Christian film. That's just that's the rules. That's scriptural, and they need to have him in every film. He, unfortunately, is not my guest. He's very, very busy, but we were able to get his current wife, Sam Sorbo. Sam, how you doing?
Yes, they call me Hercules.
Hercules? Oh, that's so mean. I always joke around. I say, you know, so his current wife. How long have you guys been married?
24 years now, I think.
24. When's your anniversary? Can you give that out on the air?
January 5th.
What? Congratulations to you and Hercules. I love the two of you, and you're difficult to put in a box because both of you, you're very pretty people. You're very attractive people. But interestingly enough, and this is the shock, you're extremely intelligent as well. Isn't that true, Sam Sorbo?
Well, I must not be that intelligent because I think I'm only 23 years now. 1998, that puts me at 23, right?
That puts you at 23. Okay. Well,
Who's counting?
You're just showing us that you're human. I think there are a lot of people out there, you know, they're watching you or listening, and they're thinking, you know, she's so perfect. I hate her. So when you just made that mathematical error, that was God's way of restoring you to the audience. So listen, we're friends, which is why I can't stop teasing you. You've got so much going on, Sam. I joke around, but you and Kevin, you're doing so many different things, so many different projects. You have homeschooled your kids, correct?
I still do, yes.
Okay. It's so impressive that you do that. So amazing you do that. You've written a lot
of
books.
Please, 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 please don't say that. It's really not. It's because I'm lazy that I homeschool my children.
That's what I was going to say. I was just about to say that. You're a terrible housekeeper, and you're just so lazy. And okay, but in all seriousness, let me put it another way. I think homeschooling is so wonderful that whenever I hear that anybody is homeschooling, I just think it's the greatest thing. I mean, I meet homeschool kids around the country when I do speaking, and I'm always tremendously impressed. I think these kids are going to take over the world, which is what gives me hope for the future. So you have a book out now. It's called Words for Warriors, Fight Back Against Crazy Socialists and the Toxic Liberal Left. Sam, we're both old enough to remember when there wasn't a toxic liberal left. We had these nice Democrats. They were slightly to the left of the Republicans, but something has happened where they have just driven the dune buggy over the cliff into full-blown socialism, Marxism. So Words for Warriors, your new book, what is it about?
Well, it's interesting that you say that the left in the United States, the Democrat Party, used to have the same values. We both parties used to value life, for instance, but now the Democrats insist on dismembering babies inside the womb, for instance.
Not that we're here to judge, because, you know, that could be just a cultural difference.
And that's what they would say. It's just a cultural difference, which, of course, it is. And yet it's not our culture. So maybe they should take that culture and go somewhere else with it.
Maybe they could go to like the 11th century Aztec culture where, you know, they had human sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. And again, who are we to judge as, you know, as white Western people? These are just cultural differences, he said sarcastically, in case anybody's not tracking.
Yeah, so, exactly. You better clarify that.
Words for Warriors. It's fight back against crazy socialists and the toxic liberal left. So what, I mean, I know it's about that, but what led you to write this book specifically? Because this is something, yeah, it's a crusade that you've been on. But to write this book, why, first of all, why is it called Words for Warriors? That's my first question.
Well, the title is a little bit of a play on the Saul Alinsky book, Rules for Radicals. So I thought that it was clever to do a takeoff of that. But really, the thing that motivated the book was the word fascist, because somehow the left has convinced us all that there's such a thing as the fascist right wing or a right wing fascist. That doesn't exist. Fascism is distinctly left wing. That's why we have all the liberal fascists in the media and on the Hill today. And that's what they are. They're liberal fascists. The move for political correctness is fascism of language. The fascists have everything in common with the communists, the socialists, the Marxists, the progressives. They have the same artwork. They have the same color scheme, black and red. They have the same tactics, very violent. It's all of a piece. And so to somehow link fascism with the right wing was the biggest ruse that they've perpetrated, on the American public. And we ought to put an end to it. And I started with that word. And then I realized they'd taken a bunch of words from us that used to be reasonable words like, woman. And they've redefined it.
People, this is one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you about this book, Words for Warriors, because there are a lot of people, younger people, who they probably missed some of this. And we want to be really clear on when we're talking about fascism. Most people think of, okay, fascism, we think of Mussolini, with his jaw thrust out defiantly. We think of Hitler. And we need to understand that even though the fascists and Hitler fought the Bolsheviks, who were the Soviet Marxists, they actually had everything in common with them. And we can put it all under totalitarianism, right? They basically said, the state owns you. You have no individual rights. We don't go according to the Bible. In fact, we are effectively atheist. We're practically atheist. And so if we're atheists, we don't believe in the Bible. We don't believe in this idea that all men are created equal. We don't believe in this idea that we're all given rights by God. None of us believes that. So here you have this false narrative that you and I are trying to sort out here, where we think of the Nazis on the right and the Soviet Marxists on the left. And in reality, what you're saying is, no, they're basically the same. They just happened to fight each other in World War II.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. After World War II, the communists sat in judgment of the Nazis. How absurd is that? And by the way, Churchill was not okay with that, but he had to make do, because Roosevelt was all about that. The communists being in judgment of the socialists? Come on. It's all the same. And that's what we have to understand on the right, because we stand for, and I'm speaking of conservatives now, we stand for freedom. We stand for limited government. Limited government. What does that mean? That means a government that has severe limitations placed on its power by the people wherein the power resides. But what do we have now? We have a government that's spending money like a drunken sailor and on things that make absolutely no sense.
You said you weren't going to bring up Vice President Biden. And when you said drunken sailor, immediately I thought of his spending, and it is, but it's an interesting thing, because we have to go back to basics, right? The money that is spent by the government is our money. There's just no way around it. There's no government with money. There's no king with money. It's our money. We, the people, are the ones that pay taxes into the treasury, and then we elect people to spend it wisely for our best interests. So when they don't do that, when they take it upon themselves to spend it as they see fit or to get more power for themselves, we know, you know, that's called corruption. But it's interesting, Sam, because we do have to, it's one of the reasons I want to have you on to talk about Words for Warriors, because we have to clarify these things. I think a lot of people right now are confused, and they want to understand what are these principles. And before we go to the break, I'll just say it. Big government, which is essentially socialist, Marxist, It's anti-American freedom. The American founders set things up where we, the people, would have the power. We, each of us, has rights given from God. And it's really the role of government to do as little as possible to screw that up. On the left, however, they think it's the role of government to be mommy, to be daddy, to do everything that needs doing. And we now know, since we read the Bible, that that's wrong. And we'll give you some details when we come back with Sam Sorbo. The book is Words for Warriors. Oh, hello. I didn't see you come in. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Folks, I have these great guests on the program typically. For example, today I was all set to talk to Kevin Sorbo. But Kevin Sorbo, we know he's got substance abuse issues. You can never get him on the set in time or whatever. So they sent us his current wife, Sam Sorbo. Sam, welcome.
Well, you heard Facebook took him down, so now he's simply not available. Nobody's allowed to talk to him anymore because Facebook said bad.
You had to get serious on me, Sam. I wanted to joke around. I wanted to waste time joking,
okay,
and you wanted to get serious. The book is Words for Warriors. Let's be serious just for a second. You said that Kevin, your husband, was taken down by Facebook. I read about that. I mean, I'm on social media, and it's sickening. Let's just be honest that anybody out there who isn't sickened by the cancel culture, which is Marxist, in case we want to know.
Fascist.
Go ahead.
It's fascist. It's fascism. It's political correctness, which is fascism of language, taken to its extreme, which is the digital assassination of individuals. They digitally assassinated the president, the sitting president of the United States. It's time to get serious about this. They've gotten deadly serious. And by the way, after what you said right before the break, I want to point out, the bigger the government, the smaller the individual. It's that simple. It's a very simple equation. The bigger the government, and our government is getting larger by the minute, the smaller the individual.
It's the question is how to fight back, right? I think a lot of people are trying to figure out how do we fight back. The book is titled Words for Warriors, Fight Back Against Crazy Socialists and the Toxic Liberal Left. Eric Metaxas, the famous author, gave you a blurb for the book. Grab a copy and fight back. But I'm here to ask you, Sam Sorbo, how do we fight back? What might we do?
But so that's the joy, because we have the truth. So you simply fight back with the truth, because the truth wins. So gravity is the truth. It's a law. And if you can argue with it, and if you jump out of a 27-story building, you will face consequences because gravity wins. The truth will win. And that's what the left understands, and they hate it. And that's why they're constantly screaming for tolerance. So the most intolerant thing we have is the truth. The truth will not tolerate a lie. And the left knows that they're lying. And so they're constantly screaming that we have to tolerate them. If it were true what they said, there would be no need for tolerance because it's true. Does that make sense?
I wasn't listening. Say it again. Just kidding. No, everything you say, of course, is true. And I think one of the things I try to do, and I know you and Kevin both do it, is to encourage people to be brave, to take courage, and to speak the truth, not to be afraid to do that. I think people don't understand that if they don't speak the truth, they have become part of the problem. And I'm not saying this to guilt trip people, except a little bit I am.
Well, a little bit you are. I mean, you wrote that fantastic book, Bonhoeffer, which I recommend to people left, right, and center. And in that book, you understood, in researching that book and everything that you worked on, you understood that the mechanism in Germany was that they silenced the sort of the fence sitters. And so there's that famous quote, first they came for, I can't remember what, but I wasn't one of those people, so I said nothing. And then they came for the Jews, and I wasn't one of those, so I said nothing. Then they came for the gays, and I wasn't a gay person, so I didn't say anything. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up for me. And that's, we're approaching that, right? So what's amazing is the amount of the outpouring of support that my husband has gotten and that I've gotten. With, of course, I'm not mincing my words when I'm talking about Words for Warriors. We need to have people embrace the truth, and we need to have people speak the truth, because it's in the spoken word that there is power. We must speak. Why do you think they're so beholden to masking everybody? Because they want you to shut up. They don't want the spoken word. They don't want the truth, because it defeats their narratives. And their narratives are all about control, notice. Now, I want to take it one step further, because there's a bigger picture here. What do we say to kids when they're about to hit each other? We say, use your words, Eric. Use your words. Because our words, our argumentation, our debate, our confrontation in words, our verbal confrontation, our diplomacy is our last-ditch effort before violence. But the left seeks to silence. They don't want the conversation because they want violence. And I defy them to contradict me. It's evident. They loved the violent riots over the summer during COVID with no masks. They were all about that. They destroyed minority businesses. They say they're for minorities. They're not for minorities. They're not for the inner city.
Yeah, we have to be really clear.
They condoned all that violence.
Every opportunity I get, I say, if you believe that every black life matters, you better speak out against Black Lives Matters, BLM, because they don't care about blacks in America. They care about power. They are a Marxist organization. They are using words in order to get power. They will say whatever they can to shut people up and to get power. And almost everyone I know who is a black American knows that BLM is harmful for black people, for America, for all those kinds of things. And people are afraid to say it. And Sam, that's why anytime I get a chance to say it, I say it. We need to understand, if you care about the poor in America, you better speak up against anything socialist, anything Marxist, anything communist. BLM is one of those things. And if you aren't speaking up against them and saying, I don't want anything to do with that, you become part of the problem. That's unfortunately the situation.
The Green Movement is anti-poor. The Green Movement. Yeah. If you're for increasing the price of fossil fuels so that it makes it harder for people to afford gasoline or whatever, it's not really going to affect the life of somebody who is well-to-do. But a poor person who, you know, that represents 20% of their budget, it's going to affect them. The small businessman who travels to people's homes, it's going to affect him, and it will curtail his business or his profits anyway, because he's going to be spending more money. And that's a big part of his budget. The Green Movement is definitively anti-poor.
It's extraordinary, really, that I think most Americans know what you're saying is true, and yet we don't have the voice that the left does. And so the left gives us the impression that, you know, more than half of the country thinks a certain way. And the fact is, no, most Americans, left and right, Democrat, Republican, most people raising kids, people who have common sense, know that these things are true. But they don't have the ability to do much about it, which is why those of us who do have some voice, like you and like me, we try to use our voices to speak these truths, to encourage people to say, you're right. You're not crazy. They're crazy. So keep up whatever you're doing and speak out.
Yeah, you're right. The left is extraordinarily well organized, and the right is not, because we are independent, right? And so we've got to take a page from their tactic book and start to organize. So in Italy, the restaurateurs were banned from opening. The Italian government said, by the way, the previously fascist Italian government said, you may not open your restaurants.
Right.
They banded together and they said, we're going to open on this day. And they all opened. And the Italian government said, crap, we can't shut them all down and we can't arrest all of them. So I guess it's okay for restaurants to open now.
You can't say crap on this program. You have to say, hey, fungul. Go ahead.
Hey, that is actually much, much worse. Do you speak Italian?
Not
That's
in English.
Terrible.
Not in English, oh. It's not. And I'm in America well, okay. right now, Sam Sorbo. Okay, I don't know what
but
world you live
this.
In, but this is the United States of America.
I will say this, and this is why we ought to be happy warriors, which is another word that's in my book. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we need to honor the Word, and that's why I wrote the book. And the way we can do that is to find people to converse with who understand the Word, and then also buy a copy for somebody who is, led astray and doesn't understand what these words mean and what they're supposed to mean. And we have to stop. You know, genderbread is in there. That's a word that the left made up.
I never heard white, that. What?
Genderbread.
Is that like gingerbread?
It's a teaching tool for children to make them understand that they don't have one particular gender, that they can choose from a myriad of sexualities and genders, and that everything's different. And it's actually quite scary. And it's in our schools today. Which, if you want to go full circle, I do want to say that while it's very flattering for people to say, "Wow, you're amazing that you home educate," I have to say it is easier than you can possibly imagine, and it's more rewarding than you ever dreamed. It is much easier to educate your children yourself than to try to conform to what the school is teaching,
That's right.
or worse. Try to undo what the school teaches.
That's right.
It is much more difficult to undo that. You won't succeed, and they will alienate your children from you as the parent. And so I highly encourage people, go to samsorbo.com. Check out my videos.
We're going to be right back. We're going to keep talking okay. to Sam Sorbo. Samsorbo.com, folks. Why would you go away? Hey there, folks. Welcome back. I'm talking to Sam Sorbo. Perhaps you've heard of her website, samsorbo.com. Sam Sorbo, listen, we're talking about all this serious, important stuff, but I want to ask you a question that a lot of hosts would be afraid to ask, but I'm not afraid to ask. My question is, your husband, Kevin Sorbo, what does he look like in the morning before he gets his makeup on? Be honest.
He's absolutely gorgeous, and he refuses to wear makeup.
Unbelievable!
I know, it's crazy, right?
When I grow up, I'm gonna be a He-Man just like Kevin. Seriously, though, you guys you're a wonderful couple, and I know you, and you're the real thing, and you're both living out your faith and your values in the public square, and you guys have paid a price for that. Let's be honest, right? If we are speaking the truth, the mainstream culture,
No, I don't buy into the narrative that we've quote unquote paid a price.
You haven't paid a price?
We've experienced the joy of standing for truth. It's not a price to pay if what you're doing is the right thing. It's their price.
It becomes semantics. I mean, there are certain prices that are well worth paying. That's the way I would put it. And I would say
I see what you did there.
The price you
Sam
pay.
Antics.
I didn't know. I didn't get that. But that's very funny, Sam Antics. Is that your next book, Sam Antics? And it's going to be, that's so good. But seriously, though, you and Kevin, by taking a stand, you can put it any number of ways. We could say, oh, you paid a price. But you know and I know that we couldn't live any other way. When you know the price
right.
that Jesus paid for us, I didn't mean to get so theological, but you just realize that I must speak the truth. Many people have spoken the truth and they've given their lives. The least I can do is speak the truth and give whatever I'm supposed to give, because that's why I was put on this planet in the first place. But you guys get that and you're living it. There are a lot of people that are more worried about their careers. They don't want to say this, they don't want to say that, because they're sort of worried. You guys just, you're doing
that's
what you know
price.
Is right, and you know there's no other way to live.
That's the price that they're willing to pay. They're paying the price. Because they're not standing for truth. They're paying the price internally. They're the ones who are going to struggle internally, because they know that they're hypocrites. They know that they're not speaking up. And I don't mean to, I'm not lambasting anybody in particular.
But if what you I'm had saying to mention people, names, give us a few. Go ahead.
The people who come to me and say, "You're so brave and I wish that I could stand up," but, you know, I feel for them. I do. But they're coming to me to unburden themselves, and they must understand that it won't help, because the burden that they're carrying is the burden of inaction. We ought to be people of action. We are people of action. We are a culture of action, and we have a heritage of action. My goodness, the men who stood for this nation, who pledged their lives and their prosperities, okay, and most of them died paupers. But they all stood for something, because they knew that if they didn't, that price was greater. And so everything is there's a price on everything, Eric. I struggle with what we do in our culture is, oh, the homeschooler, what a terrible price they have to pay to homeschool. No, it's a joy and a pleasure.
They have to be home with those rotten kids when they could have shoved them off into some, you know, left-wing teacher's world. And then all they would need to do at that point is just spend the rest of their lives weeping as they try to undo the Marxist indoctrination, which is so easy.
And not have a good relationship with my children, and watch them go off into leftist dogma and, that phony leftist world that they make up. Do you know, we can't possibly reach utopia, because even if we did, people would be there to try to screw it up, because that's the human nature is not to be satisfied with what's good enough, you know? So I just want to flip that narrative. I do it throughout the book, Words for Warriors, because the left has convinced us. They've convinced you that I'm paying a price, that you're paying a price.
Now listen, Sam.
No.
They've convinced me of nothing. I agree with your strained definition of how we pay a price or don't pay a price. We're on the same page, sister.
Yes, I know.
But it's just – no, I know you do. But I think that it is important, though, to say that the reason I'm willing to, quote, unquote, pay a price is because, like you, I understand I'm actually not paying a price. The price you pay is – you know, it's like saying, well, I have to do this and this and this and this, and what do I get in exchange? Heaven for eternity – my father in heaven saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. I mean, the point is that you can't outgive God. We know you can't outgive God. So this idea that, wow, I've got to do this or this or this, it is our joy. It is the reason we're put on the planet to speak the truth in love, to represent the truth, to do what we can, to fight for truth. As you mentioned in your book, Words for Warriors, I want to mention to people again, the book is Words for Warriors, Fight Back Against Crazy Socialists and the Toxic Liberal Left. Those of us who understand some of this, we owe it to each other to band together. So I want people to know you and Kevin are tremendous resources. Your website is samsorbo.com. Is there another website we should mention before we go to a break?
Yeah, absolutely. SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com. And please do sign up for the emails, because we send out infrequent email blasts.
Sorbo
Family.
Family.
Film Studios.
Film Studios. Sorbo Family Film Studios.com.
.com. Folks, and they will shut down his Twitter. They're going to shut down. They'll try
to silence him. Sorbo Family Film Studios.com. We need to band together. We need to sign up for that newsletter at SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com. Sign up for my newsletter at EricMetaxas.com, because we're being shut down by the fascists. We'll be right back.
Those hungry hunters tracking down the hours. But where were all your shoulders when we cried?
Hey, folks, welcome back. My guest is Sam Sorbo, whom I love to tease. That's my love language. I tease my friends. And so let me start out, Sam Sorbo, by asking, what is that pretty boy husband of yours doing right now while you're working hard on this program?
He's probably golfing, I would say. That's his outlet. He golfs every day.
With Joe Pesci?
No, not today.
Not today?
I don't know. I think Joe's still up in the snow.
Really?
Poor Joe. Yeah.
I love the idea that you know where Joe Pesci might be today. Okay, so listen, you Hollywood people make me sick, but let me put that aside. Let me put my bitterness
That's
aside.
That's our job.
Let me put that aside. You and Kevin, as I said earlier, you've really been outspoken, and Facebook took, we put it so so politely. I was going to say they took Kevin down like you put down a dog. No, we blew its brains out with the shotgun, right? So they are censoring Kevin. Facebook says he can't be on here. Now, let's think about this for a second. What does he post on Facebook, or what did he post on Facebook? No, I'm actually serious, that they would say, that's it. We've had enough of Kevin Sorbo. What is he doing that Facebook, you know, the fascist monsters, Zuckerberg, what does Mike Lindell call Zuckerberg? Suckabuck. Mike Lindell calls him Suckabuck.
Did you see that the Kindle came out with a new version where you can burn the digital book?
No, I didn't.
That's a Babylon Bee headline.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's satire. You don't have to fact check it, USA Today.
Right. But seriously, because I want people to understand how ridiculous it is, right? So Kevin posts what? What is Kevin posting that Facebook says, woo, this is a threat to the republic, you know, of Satan or whatever it is. But what do they think is the big issue? What was the big issue?
Well, first of all, they took him down without telling him why. They did not give him a warning about taking him down. They had given him warnings, which he had heeded, and removed the content that they found, quote unquote, offensive.
Like
what? Mind you, their use of the word offensive is not our use of the word offensive.
Look,
okay?
We understand that they're idiots, but cutting to the chase, specifically, what kind of stuff did they say? Hey, you can't post that. I mean, I'm just curious.
Things like the CDC revised their numbers on the death toll of COVID, or the findings that were posted on the CDC website that masks were 99.98% ineffective at preventing the transmission of the virus. The Dr. Simone Gold stuff, where you know she claims that hydroxychloroquine is an effective treatment, or the Anthony Fauci research that says that hydroxychloroquine is an effective treatment against all kinds
of
COVID. By the
way, did you know, I hate to interrupt something substantive, but did you know that Fauci has 666 tattooed someplace on his person? I might just be making that up, but
I don't know if it's tattooed. I think it's a birthmark.
It's a creepy birthmark. And his mommy was a jackal. Did you know that?
It's in his...
Did you watch The Omen with Lee Remick? His mother was a jackal.
No,
we're living in such creepy times. You'd think that, you know, if you said something like really viciously ad hominem, nobody would take it down. Nobody have a problem with that. But when you post something like the CDC has revised its standards, you're taken down for that. But here's what's interesting, Sam, because I do want to understand this. Why do you think Facebook would care about this? You know, it does seem to me like somebody out there is trying to enforce an agenda, that the pandemic narrative is a kind of agenda for the toxic left that you write about in your book, Words for Warriors. But it is interesting. Why would Facebook be persuaded to take such an aggressive stance for that strange pandemic agenda? I mean, I find that very curious. I think everybody probably wonders why this would be. Why would Zuckerberg care about that?
It shouldn't. It's a fascist tactic to cow your viewers, to cow other people so that they think somehow that we're the brave ones, that we're sacrificing, right? But we need to flip that narrative on its head, because Facebook and the Facebook followers, the sycophants, they're the ones who are impoverished because they don't have the truth and they won't have access to the truth.
And they don't have Kevin Sorbo to kick around anymore.
The rest of the good people who understand that there is truth out there will keep seeking. I've had so many people reach out saying, oh, I dumped Facebook. I'm not interested in that anymore. And Facebook ought to lose. And we ought to see to it that they are the ones that are outed. And by outed, I don't mean in the fascist way. I mean, you vote with your dollars. You don't support things that you don't believe in. We just talked off air about Mike Lindell, and his numbers are skyrocketing because of the because of the persecution. I almost put it in air quotes, but it is persecution.
Well, no, I was going to say that this is something I talk about as often as I can. Exactly what you just said. We have a voice. If you do not use your voice now, shame on you, folks. You better use your voice. And your voice is your dollars, where you spend your money, how you spend your money. You have incredible power. The people in America who think, oh, we don't have any power, the power of the purse is monumental. You control billions of dollars with how you spend your money. So when somebody like Mike Lindell, when they come after a guy like Mike Lindell, you should immediately think, how can I help him? How can I go to MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, use the code ERIC, so you're helping this program. Use the code ERIC as your discount code. But the point is, people should think, as soon as somebody is attacked, how can I help that person? Help them immediately. Kevin Sorbo, me, whoever is being attacked, it is an obligation, I think, that we have to do everything we can to send the message. Sam, this is exactly what you're saying. Send a message immediately like, hey, Facebook, you want to play that game? You're going to lose. Trust me, you're going to lose. Twitter, you're going to lose. And they're all going to lose. I mean, in 5 years' time, I don't think any of us will be on Twitter or on Facebook. They're going to have to look for new jobs. This is the thing. This is why I love you and Kevin, because you understand this, that we have tremendous power, but we have to use it. We have to speak out.
Yes, and I believe that the power is really just the truth, and the truth is the word. And we ought to be using our words. So that's why I wrote the book. And I want to encourage people, because if you don't, you're compromising not just – you're compromising your integrity. And your integrity is all you have. This is – you know, when you speak to kids and you want to teach them not to lie, and we do want to teach our kids not to lie because we know that lying is bad, although the left lies – pretty much all the time.
Okay, hang on. We're gonna go to break. We're gonna come back with the rest of that sentence. The left lies all the time. Stick around. And you soon find out it's true. Folks, welcome back. Final segment with Sam Sorbo. Sam, you were making some kind of incendiary comment. I wanted to make sure that you were able to complete your thought.
Yeah, I was saying that the left lies all the time. Pretty much. All the time. I can't think of a single, if it's not just a hypocritical statement, something that they don't believe that they're saying that may or may not be true, or just simply outright lies. But the point is that when they get us complicit with the lie, then it becomes a personal problem. And that's what I'm struggling with, because there are a lot of people out there who are, because they're fearful, because our language that we use says, oh, it's a great sacrifice to stand for the truth. These people are afraid to stand for the truth. And I understand the fear, but the problem is they're compromising their integrity. And so I was going to say that when you're teaching a child not to lie, and that's something that we want children to not lie, the way you explain it to them is this. You say, when you lie, you know that you lie. It doesn't matter if anybody else knows that you lie. You know you lie. And then when you face yourself in the mirror, you're facing a liar. And then you've lost everything because you can't even trust yourself.
So the key,
now you can fool yourself,
is to avoid mirrors. Is that the idea? If you're going to lie, avoid mirrors.
If you're going to lie, because they'll break. No.
Well, no, but look, you're saying such important things here. Folks, the book is Words for Warriors. Sam Sorbo is the author. Sam, I want to just repeat what I was saying earlier, that we have at least two obligations. One is to speak the truth, and you're talking about that. And if we don't speak the truth, we become part of the problem. And the second thing, which we were talking about earlier, which I talk about all the time, is you've got to make people pay a price when they do things like when they try to cancel a Mike Lindell or a Kevin Sorbo or an Eric Metaxas, or whenever people try that, we who have a voice have to say, I'm going to do all I can to stand up for that person, because if you don't do that, folks, when they come for you, there'll be nobody to stand up for you. And I really do think that when somebody like you, Sam, put out a book, Words for Warriors, I want to say to people, make an effort to get that book, if only to help our side, because there aren't that many people speaking the truth. We want to encourage people to speak the truth, and we want to empower you who are listening to speak the truth. Sam, what else are you and Kevin working on right now?
We have a film in the can that was supposed to, it's in COVID jail right now. So we're working on trying to find a good distribution channel for it. It's called Miracle in East Texas. and it is a comedy. Actually, the book has a lot of comedy in it as well. I believe in humor, and boy, we need some humor these
days,
don't
we?
Yes, you. I know you have no sense of humor, and that's a sad failure on the part of your parents, frankly,
that's right,
Eric,
that's right.
In how they raised you.
Well, listen, you're a cheeky gal, aren't you? How dare you? No, seriously, so your film Miracle in East Texas is in COVID jail,
yeah.
And you're looking for a distribution partner. And
so,
yeah,
people can go to SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com if they want any updates. Sign up for the email list. We are also a nonprofit because we're seeing that it's going to take more than Hollywood financing
right.
to finance good, solid, uplifting
yes.
movie making.
And we
need that in our culture.
You and I and Kevin, we're in the same boat. We're trying to do some important things, and it's one of the reasons it just thrills me, Sam, that we get to have you on. Folks, the book is Words for Warriors. Go to samsorbo.com. Go to sorbofamilyfilms.com. Sign up for their newsletter. Sign up for my newsletter, ericmetaxas.com. Sam Sorbo, God bless you and that hunk of a husband of yours.
Alvin, have I told you about Food for the Poor?
Yes, tell us.
Have I told you? I got to tell you again. I'm so excited. Listen, this is an opportunity. Everybody knows they have to give back, but you always wonder, where do I go? Who do I give to? How do I get? Folks, we've done the homework. Food for the Poor, we've worked with them over and over and over again. They could not be more reputable. They are feeding starving kids in Honduras right now. Please, please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner. MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner. This is a blessing. Please do it. We want 100% participation. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner. God bless you.